was just talking about the rules in Chicago are different than they are in the rest of Illinois in terms of where we can go, we can't go. And we have Mary Vanderbilt in COVID jail right now because she went to Wisconsin. So she has to spend the next 2 weeks on this program reporting from her bathtub. Now, the state of Illinois is fighting with itself. And Representative Jim Durkin is with us. He's the House Minority Leader. I got a lot to talk to you about, but one of the things that you guys are saying is that the Republicans are saying down in Springfield is the governor is overstepping his boundaries here in terms of how he's the new rules and the regulations that are coming into effect, or at least the proposed ideas. Not much has happened here yet. That's, you know, much different from the last couple of weeks. What are you worried about?
What I'm worried about, anyway, good to hear from you, Ro. Thanks for having me on. I'm down in Peoria. What I see is this is a repeat of what the governor tried to do a few months ago. You know, there is a separation of powers, co-equal branches of government between the legislature and also the governor. Legislature is the one that introduces bills, and we're the ones that pass bills that have substantive effects upon the state law. Governor's job is to sign them. Now, the governor is trying to do something through a committee called the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. It's called JCAR. It's made up. It's a bicameral, bipartisan group of legislators from both chambers. Their job in JCAR is to what we refer to as providing technical necessary details to bills that were left out, are done, language is added to comply with the spirit of the law. Now, the governor 3 months ago tried to, back in May, wanted to change, go to have the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules create a criminal penalty against bars and I think bars, restaurants, and retailers for those who did not follow the stay-at-home order, the executive order, a Class A misdemeanor. That means you get fingerprinted. That means that you will be hauled and you'll have a bond hearing. That means you'll be sitting at the misdemeanor courts in the branches or possibly at 26 in California if you didn't follow the stay-at-home order. We said that this is ridiculous. You cannot legislate, Governor. Your job is to serve as the governor and to make decisions on laws, but you are not a person who could legislate. He's trying to use the agencies Department of Public Health to institute rules that would penalize these retailers and restaurants who didn't follow the stay-at-home order. And that was immediately after there was so much pressure on him, he abandoned it. Now, just within the last 48 hours, he's done the same thing again. He wants to create another Class A misdemeanor against any establishment, retail establishment, bar, restaurant, not as if he hasn't kicked them to the curb enough, but they would be fined and they would be subject to a Class A misdemeanor if they did not enforce a mask policy. And the point is, there is a legislative body that makes substantive laws. We're the ones that create criminal penalties. It's not the governor. I am glad to work with the governor on any of these issues. Call us back into session and let us do our work, but don't pretend to be the legislature and also the governor. So my feeling is that he is significantly curbing the powers of the legislature, undercutting us, and exercising his executive authority well beyond what the Constitution, you know, has considered.
Okay, if they were to call you back into session, would you move on a mask law?
I would negotiate one with those who are going to be affected by that, and those are the ones who are the restaurants and the retailers, the ones that have had to shut their doors since May, who are trying to survive, mm-hmm. to put their employees back to work. I wear a mask all the time. I think that there's value to it, but I'm not going to force a mandate on them without us finding a solution. The governor has not worked with the people that are being subjected to his executive orders to find a common ground from day one. So
is this going to go through? Or will this also get stopped the way that the previous thing you just referenced got stopped?
Well, the rules require
I don't want to get too into the weeds here, Jim, because it's confusing enough as it is. But
No. It's a confusing process. If a Democrat sides with the Republicans to say this is not the governor's province, then we will defeat it. It will be defeated at this committee, this JCAR rule. committee. We need one Democrat to say no and stand with Republicans and say this is not the governor's place. Let the legislature make these decisions. This is not the governor's decision to make, to penalize and create an administrative rule to penalize the employers and restaurants of Illinois.
Yeah. Well, there are some restaurants.
That makes sense?
Yeah, no. It does. I mean, it does make sense, but I am not 110% sure that the public good is being served here, because we do need to get past this. And it does appear we are starting to see an uptick again in the state of Illinois. And yep. We don't want to go through
Absolutely.
This again. And we don't want, and
I
the
agree.
Worst thing that could happen, Representative, is for us to have to go back to a stay at home order. And that's not what we want. We do not want to close the restaurants. We do not want to close the, and not that the restaurants would close for everything, there would still be carry out because food is considered essential. But for in service dining, that's bad because these places are just barely coming back. Bars are a tough call, though. And I want to talk to you about this on the other side. So stand by with me 1 second. Jim Durkin is with us. He's the House Minority Leader down in Springfield. And we can talk about what we can actually do as a solution here to get past this. Do the right thing and also not penalize the good people who are trying to do the right thing and they're trying to keep their businesses open and balance these two items. But first, here's Mary Vandeveld in her bathtub. And it appears that Illinois is going to go through some rule changes as COVID is concerned. And Representative Jim Durkin is with us. He's the House Minority Leader. He's a Republican. Concerned about the governor maybe overstepping his boundary of being the executive as opposed to a guy who can actually make the rules. That's up to the legislature. That's why they call it the legislature, because it's legislative. That's the whole idea. Now, the question really is, what is reasonable here as we move forward? Are there things that we can do to put a little bit of teeth into the regulations without actually stepping on the heads of the business owners? Because there's a lot of business owners who, we've noticed this, aren't necessarily following the rules.
I think a great majority of them are, but some of them aren't. But I'd like to see someone other than the governor dictate how this is going to play out. Now, Ro, the legislature has been in session 3 days since the middle of March. 3 days for us to deal with, and we met under very, very safe circumstances for the Democrats to pass a $5 billion unbalanced budget. So I think we can do better. I'm asking that the governor can do what he should do. I was sworn in like he was, took an oath, represent my district to follow the laws of Illinois, and I am prepared to work with the governor and also the Democrats to, if he calls us back in this special session, he should exercise his constitutional authority by saying that I want the legislature to convene to take up this issue regarding the mask and also penalties for those who are not going to follow that. Make it a law of Illinois. That is what we should be doing, and that is what criticism has been consistent, that he's taken the legislature out of this process. Even though we have a pandemic, he cannot use it as an excuse to disregard the other branch of government, the legislature. And I feel very strong about that. All he's got to do is say, guys, let's get back down to Springfield. Let's put our let's roll
let
up our sleeves and get
this.
It done.
Let me understand this. That means he has to call you in.
Right. That's correct.
You guys can't call yourselves in.
He has the authority to call in both the House and the Senate.
But can the House and the Senate call itself in?
Yes. Mike Madigan, he's got other issues to deal with right now.
Yeah.
But he can do that, and I don't expect Mike Madigan to want to have all the Democrats and Republicans under the same roof for the obvious reasons. Because I introduced a resolution just last week calling for him to step down and asking for him to resign from his office, but also for the legislature to take up a new vote for speaker. And that's something that the governor can do as well. I mean, there's a couple things. Call us back into session. Let us do our work. People will show up and we will do this. This is an important issue.
Yeah.
I am not disregarding it at all. I take this very serious, the issue of pandemic, but I also take serious the obligation that I have to my office and also to the state of Illinois. And I did not, delegate that to the governor.
Okay, I get it. I understand what you're saying.
Two-way street.
Okay, understood. All right. So now the question is, if you were to go back, what would you be looking to do?
I think that we could, and I would work off what the governor is recommending. But, Ro, as I speak right now, I need to, what I do on bills that are going to affect individuals or entities, I discuss with them how we can make this work without it being overly punitive, or secondly, how do you enforce it? So that's what we do on a regular basis down in Springfield. And I would like to say the governor says, I'm going to call you guys down in a week.
Okay.
It gives me 7 days to work with the governor's office and also the retail industry to find the common ground. That we do that often.
Okay. Do you have a sense of what we should be doing here is my question. If we were to come back in, I'm just trying to get to the details here. I understand. I get exactly, and I think the audience fully understands what you're saying here. Question is, what would this look like? What do we need to do as a guy who would be one of the guys making the rules? What would you suggest is an important thing? Should there be criminal class A misdemeanor charge against somebody, a business owner who doesn't obey these rules?
I think it's a stretch to do that. You know, class A misdemeanors are people that right now who have gun offenses, people who have some type of sex offenses, and, you know, some pretty bad stuff. I don't think, you know, I think that these guys, that their business license should be under consideration if they fail to follow the rules. I don't think criminalizing a business owner who is a little bit lax on the mask rule, I don't think that should be part of the criminal code. But I do believe that we should give these guys some type of notice that if you do this a second time, then
like your state liquor license, for example,
their liquor license and whatever their retailer occupation license, the different licenses at the state that these businesses, retail and hospitality industry have to operate under. That's how they keep their doors open.
Do you think the hospitality industry go along with that?
I think that it would be. I think that they would. They don't want to support the bad actors. The Restaurant Association, I talk to them on a regular basis.
Yeah, because the guys who are doing the right job, let me just jump in here for a second, because the restaurant owners who are trying to do the right thing at their own penalty, right, at their own lack of revenue and at the cost to their employees and to their business and all of their investors, they're trying to do the right thing, and then people who are getting around it and cheating the system and potentially making people sick, that's got to be addressed in some way, shape, or form, because it's kind of anarchy out here. Everybody's acting like it's end of days. And you see it, whether it's in street crime or you see it even in the corporate world where there's such chaos, people are trying to get away with things. We really do need to stop and have people take personal responsibility, Jim.
Agree. And this is a way for us to do it. And I think that if we're going to pull somebody's ticket, that to me is a better way of enforcing a mask law against a bad actor who has disregarded the health and safety of Illinoisans. But I don't believe bringing them into the courthouses and have them subject to a Class A misdemeanor. They're going to sit around for a year and get a jury trial. I mean, that's unrealistic. That's just not going to happen.
Right. But there are real people, as we know, there are real people who need to get jury trials right now that are doing some really bad things.
We're going to find out. We're going to probably find out more about that after the next when the federal government continues on with their investigation. So as an aside, jury trials should be left for real criminals in the Cook County court system, but also in the federal court system.
Yeah. Well, I see. That was an allusion to the Speaker of the House. I see what you just did there.
I mean,
all right. Okay.
That's not me. I don't. But I think at the end of the day, people need to. It's real simple. Wear the damn mask.
Are you surprised?
I wish people would just say it.
I mean, you come from a pretty conservative district, and it seems to be politicized. And I don't understand what the politics of it are. I don't understand why people think that wearing a mask is some sort of statement of where they stand, or not wearing a mask, their statement of where they stand politically. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's more about people who refuse to wear the mask, and they say that this is an encroachment on their liberties. I'm like, for crying out loud, what is it's an inconvenience at most. We had to deal with that back in May, in which one of the members of the House of Representatives, a Republican, you know, objected to it. But, you know, I will just say this, balancing the health and safety, which we have an obligation as elected officials for the people of Illinois, outweighs whatever de minimis impact upon their freedom. The health and safety overwhelms that whatever right that they are claiming has been abridged.
Jim Durkin, House Minority Leader, thank you very much for saying that. That's an important thing to say. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. Right. You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.